In the 1990s, a group of MIT students put their mathematical gifts to work and made millions by shrewdly playing the odds. They were not into junk bonds or arbitrage or stock options in dot-com startups. As Ben Medrich describes in his book about them, Bringing Down the House, they were into card counting, and they practiced their skills on weekend trips to casinos where they played blackjack.
Blackjack's one of the few games there's actually a memory. Every hand affects what comes next. So mathematically, there's a way to get an advantage over the house by figuring out which cards have come out already. When there are more high cards left in the deck, face cards and aces, you have an advantage over the dealer because the dealer will bust more often, which means, you know, his cards will go over 21, or you'll hit blackjack more often. So if you could figure out a way to know how many more face cards are left in the deck than have come out, you can beat the game.
Okay, not too hard to do if you're playing with 52 cards.
Right.
But if the dealer is shuffling six decks of cards and there are more than 300 cards in there, pretty hard to keep count.
Well, it is and it isn't. You don't have to necessarily keep count of every specific card. You have to keep count of the ratio of high to low cards. It's not simple, but it's not as difficult as it might seem. You basically, just as the high cards are coming out, you keep track of them by subtracting 1 point for each high card you see. And every low card you see, you add 1 point to this running number. Then the hard mathematics get into it as you try and analyze how much of the deck is left. And once you figure that out, you can get a specific number that tells you what the ratio is, the amount of advantage you have because of the amount of high cards that are left.
So if I was sitting at a blackjack table and I knew that of the six decks we were about halfway through and
right.
there were only 150 cards left and relatively very few picture cards, aces, tens had been seen already,
right.
I would know this is a good time to start
this
playing.
This is a good time. This is a good time for you to be playing, and you should be playing as much money as you can. And the key to card counting is to be able to raise your bet as the advantage gets better. Now, as an individual card counter, this is very difficult to do because the casino can see you doing this, and they'll see you jump from $10 a hand to $10,000 a hand, and they'll throw you out. But these kids, what this MIT team did was they created a division of labor. They would spread 10 kids across the casino, one sitting at each table, and those kids would never raise their bet, they'd just count the cards. When the cards got good, they'd signal to someone called a big player who'd be walking around with the big money, and he'd sit down and only play $10,000 a hand, basically. So he's only playing when the deck is good, and the other guys are playing low bets and never changing their bet.
So even though these are teammates and they're all either undergraduates or dropouts, I guess, from MIT,
right.
one of them is playing the part of the ordinary player who's betting 10 bucks, and the other one is playing the part of the high roller, so they're both using false identities for all this.
And they also acted out roles. The big player has to appear like someone who could spend $10,000 a hand. So he would act the role of a very rich kid, maybe an internet millionaire or someone from overseas who had tons of money on him. And they pretended they didn't know each other. They'd stay in different hotels. They'd fly in separately sometimes. They'd never, you know, talk to each other afterwards. And they wouldn't meet until afterwards, and they'd meet in a sort of different setting. But yeah, there is false identities or fake identities. You have to sort of play a role.
You have shielded the real identities of these people, including the real identity of the young man whom you call Kevin Lewis,
right.
who let you in on this. Tell us as much as you can about the real identities of these people.
When this team started out, they were all either seniors or around that age or a little bit older than that. Kevin Lewis, who is the main character, is sort of your stereotypical MIT kid. He's, you know, geekish a little bit. He's an amiable kid. When you'd meet him in Boston, you'd see nothing special about him. Very smart. I mean, they're all extremely smart, mathematical geniuses, mechanical engineering majors, stuff like that. When you see him in Vegas, he becomes a totally different person. It's sort of becomes a rock star kind of persona to play the big player. It was sort of a double life he led. And he sort of let me in on it over a few years, and I sort of went with them to Las Vegas and learned what they did and saw the other side of his life.
One of the MIT blackjack players here talks about this being a very Asian thing.
Yes. Well, the thing about casinos is a white kid with $1 million bankroll stands out in Las Vegas, especially someone in his early 20s. But an Asian kid who's 21 years old, 22 years old, with $1 million in the bank, doesn't stand out in Las Vegas. If you go there and you sit at a high roller table, you usually see Persian people or Asian people. It's usually non-white people playing the large money. And I don't know if that's a cultural thing or a money thing, but that's the way it is in the casinos. So a large number of this team, especially the big players, were either Asian or Persian or non-white.
Let's say your main character, the person you call Kevin Lewis, who contributes an afterword explaining the system at the end of the book. Right. How much money do you think he made over how much time playing blackjack?
Well, you know, it's difficult to say. I think between $3 and $5 million the team made. I think his personal take was definitely in the $1 to $2 million range over a couple of years. It's really hard to say specifically how much money he made. He keeps it in $100 bills in his laundry, essentially.
But as you say, he had an IRS audit that you write about, he had to come up with some number of what he made.
Yeah, and at the time, it's not illegal to make money gambling like this, and it's not illegal as long as you declare it, as in your other category or in your IRS forms. And it's hard to say exactly how much money was made. And the casinos don't know how much money card counters make either, which is why they come down so hard on them often, because they don't know how much they're losing.
You say it's not illegal for a half dozen or a dozen people to use false identities to go to a casino and operate as a team unbeknownst to the casino.
It's not illegal to go and check into a hotel, as far as I know, under another name. And it's not illegal to count cards. It is illegal to cheat, but none of this is cheating. This is just using your brain to beat blackjack. Casinos have tried to make it illegal a number of times, and there have been lawsuits about it. But other than being able to throw you out, there's nothing that a casino can legally do to you.
But a casino can, again, it's not against the law for a casino to say, you can no longer play in this casino.
In Las Vegas. In Atlantic City, it's different. In Atlantic City, they actually can't throw you out. In Atlantic City, they can just make it very, very difficult for you to play by shuffling up every hand or by essentially harassing you until you leave. In Las Vegas, they can throw you out whenever they want. So essentially, these guys just started getting thrown out, and they'd get thrown out pretty much before they even sit down at the table. They could get thrown out as soon as they walked into the casino. And they've even had their bags thrown out of the casino. They've been harassed in a lot of different ways and chased around to keep them away from coming back. And to tell you the truth, to them, they see themselves as Robin Hood, essentially fighting the sheriff, because the casinos are set up to beat you. They're set up to beat all the average people who walk in there. And these kids essentially use their brains to beat the casinos. So in their mind, there's nothing immoral going on. They're essentially using their brains the same way people do on Wall Street to take advantage of sort of an arbitrage situation.
Well, Ben Mezrich, thank you very much for talking with us.
No, thanks very much for having me.
Ben Mezrich is the author of Bringing Down the House, the inside story of six MIT students who took Vegas for millions.